The Spirit and the Church cry out.
Amen.
All those who await his appearance pray.
Come, Lord Jesus.
The whole creation pleads.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. So says Jesus in the Gospel for the second Sunday in Advent. Over the course of my lifetime, I remember the upheaval on college campuses during the Vietnam War in the 1960s. I remember the high inflation and gas lines in the 1970s. I remember double-digit interest rates in the 1980s. I don't remember World War I, the war that would end all wars, or World War II, and the near conquest and subjugation of the world by fascism. I wasn't born yet. But some of you remember some of those things. History is a good teacher. We need to pay attention to history, not because we look at history and say, you know, it was really bad at one time and then it got better. So just hang in there and things will get better. That's not the lesson we are to learn. Rather, we are to learn the lesson of human failure and futility and rebellion against God. Rather, we are to learn the lesson of how much we and the world around us that is terrorized by fear and expectation of the things that are coming upon the earth, how much the world and we need Christ our Savior. I remember hearing during the 1970s that a new ice age would soon descend upon the world if something were not done to prevent it. Oh, maybe we did too much. Now the world is going to burn up because of global climate change. I remember my older brother coming home from college and telling me that the world would soon be overwhelmed by overpopulation and tens of millions of people would die by the year 2000. Many of those who led civil unrest in the 1960s or who made such doomsday prognostications on college campuses and in the classrooms by the so-called experts and scholars in the 1970s are also among those who pushed for the legalization of abortion, resulting in over 60 million babies being murdered since Roe v. Wade. Forgive me if I am skeptical about the experts, especially if they have a worldview that is atheistic, a worldview that rejects God, and if they are governed by secular humanism, which has an inflated opinion of mankind, and which further believes that man is getting better and can solve all of the world's problems. How has that worked out for humanity since the dawn of civilization? Not so good. One thing is certain. man is not good, no matter how much he might believe that he is. And we have a message for the world around us, a message of hope and comfort that is not centered in who wins elections, or which president sits in the White House, or the economic condition of the world around us. We have a message of hope and salvation that transcends the problems of this world, and the only message, the message of the gospel, that can give hope and comfort and encouragement in the one thing needful, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has borne the sin of the world to the tree of the cross on our behalf. Over the past 20 months, the words of today's gospel certainly describe the times in which we have been living. Men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Fear is a powerful thing. We've witnessed fear in our own country, across the globe, and we have witnessed fear coming into the church. But it is not the nature of faith in Christ to be afraid. It doesn't mean we do not mourn over the decay and disintegration of our society and culture. But faith in Christ places his confidence in God's word and in the ultimate optimism that the present sufferings of this life for us are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And for us who live under this veil of tears with others who are so sore afraid, that we have a hope and a comfort to offer them. Faith in Christ expects the world to pass away. Faith in Christ looks at the signs of the times that caused the world to despair, and faith looks up because our redemption draws near in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we will rise from the dead, and the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, a kingdom that does not fade away. Jesus could not be more accurate in his description of the times in which we live. What is also interesting about the words of Jesus in the gospel for today is that they were spoken by him during Holy Week after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and just a couple of days before he was crucified on the cross. The signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. After Jesus spoke those words, the disciples would soon experience the very shaking of the cosmos in the darkness that covered the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour, in the earthquake when Jesus gave up his spirit, and in the bodies of the saints coming out of the graves and walking into Jerusalem. Fear and expectation of the things coming upon the earth. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And on earth, perplexity of nations. What if the climate is radically changing? What if the very species that God created become extinct? Because of God's cursing of the creation on account of man's sin. What if it doesn't snow as much in Wisconsin in 2021 as it did 100 years ago? Is this not evidence of what the scriptures teach about how God cursed the creation on account of man's sin to show us just how much we need Christ and what happens to the world that turns away from the Word of God, which is the fountain and source of life? What if the Russian buildup of troops on the Ukrainian border and the threats of China to gobble up Taiwan are yet preludes to more distress of nations with perplexity? I don't know what will happen tomorrow, or what will happen next year, or how long I have yet to live in this world. But I do know this, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, our Savior, and His word is truth and the source of comfort and joy, not for us only, but for a world that is perishing in fear and dread. Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Those words ought to inspire in us, in this veil of tears and amidst of the distress of nations, a yearning for the return of our Lord. It's captured in those Advent prayers, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus has called His church in every age to live as if He could return at any moment, so that we are not only always ready when He does, but also so that in every moment of the church's existence, we shine like a bright light in this world of darkness to give hope to the hopeless and comfort to those in despair. This is how we are to interpret the distress of nations and the shaking of the powers of the heavens. All of these things are what Jesus calls the beginning of birth pangs. And you know what birth pangs end in? The birth of new life and joy. These things are to teach us not to be too attached to the things of this world. It's one of the great salutary benefits of having things that we think are stable in this world be shaken around us. It exposes our idolatry, that we might repent, that we may not place our faith in these things. Yes, they are all a call to repentance, which is very simply a call away from reliance upon ourselves and our own wisdom and the wisdom of this world to reliance upon Christ. Every age since Pentecost has experienced this distress of nations. There have been times that it's been far worse than it is today. And in every age, the Church of Christ calls us and the world to place our hope in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Men's hearts are failing them for fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. But the Church does not fear. Instead, we live in hopefulness and joy, because the Lord's word in Jesus is absolutely sure. There is the promise of the resurrection and everlasting life in Christ. When Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away, that is a promise. When He says, this generation will not pass away, He promises that the church will endure until He comes again in glory. The more you and I see the shaking of our world around us, the distress of nations, famine, and yes, pestilence, the distress of nations, the more we are to look up, for our redemption draws near. Looking up for Christ's return means that we immerse ourselves in the study of God's word, in the vigilance of prayer, in the worship of Christ, and in the singing of hymns. And we do this more than we pay attention to the bombardment of anti-Christian rhetoric from the contemporary pop culture or the nightly news. Turn it off, and like newborn babes, hunger and thirst for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby in hope and confidence and joy. To you who fear my name, Malachi wrote today, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, who still nonetheless leap for joy and in the vigor of life. And as St. Paul said in the epistle for this week, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And that's what the Scriptures always give, as they call us away from self-reliance to reliance upon Christ. The byproduct is hope and joy under the cross and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. The Lord's word is our comfort in the latter days. He encourages us not to place our faith in the kingdoms of this world or in property or wealth or honor that will pass away, but in his word, which will never pass away. The sign of the budding fig tree in the gospel for today is the sign not that the darkness of winter is near, but rather the new life of spring and summer. A sign of the resurrection from the dead to eternal day, where there will be no night. Now may the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.